of Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. So, this past week, I found myself reading on two different occasions. I did read other occasions, but on these two particular occasions, I found myself, I was reading something, and the next thing I know, I'm waking up. Does that kind of happen to you sometimes? You know, or maybe you're watching a TV program, and for whatever reasons you fall asleep and you don't even realize it. But then there are those times where you wake up and you don't know where you are or who you are. Have you experienced that feeling?
Yeah.
Where you're not even sure who you are. I've had that experience, and I had it a number of times, but two times in the last week and a half. What a horrible feeling that. You don't even remember who you are. Where am I? What's going on? What just happened? You know, you can be caught in the dream that you were in, and you wake up from it, and now you're someplace else, and what's going on here? So I'm going to use this to get to a more important point. You know, have any of you been driving? And it's like, hey, I passed that, I'm here, I passed that place that I wanted to go to. have you had that happen to you? Where you're driving and all of a sudden you're somewhere beyond where you thought you should be.
Yes.
You know? It's kind of, you zone out. We're asleep, but we're not asleep. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you have those times where you wake up sometimes you don't even know who you are, where you are. Now I want to read something here in the book of Ephesians that says something here to us. There was one of the songs that was played, and I'm going to talk about. I wrote down as we were singing some of the words to the songs. I wrote down some of the choruses or verses or whatever you call it. One of the songs was it's the cry of my heart to worship you, and in that song it says open my eyes so that I can see and all of that, this is what we're going to be talking about here to start off with, but like I said, it's really to get to another point. So if you're in Ephesians, it's chapter 5, and I'm going to start in verse 14. You know, I believe that it is the cry of everybody's heart in here, that you want to know the Lord more, you want to serve Him, you want to be able to see Him working in your life. And even with that cry in our heart to be like that, we still can find ourselves needing to be awakened to where we are, who we are, and what's going on in life. And it says here, verse 14, therefore he says, awake you that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And then it says, see then. Now, if we want to awake and be alive to what God is Well, there's a certain way that really can happen in the spirit realm. And here's what it says. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now that's a very practical thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that word circumspectly means to walk through life cautiously, carefully, considerately, discreetly, prudently, carefully considering all the circumstances before acting, judging, or deciding. That's what it says in my Bible. This helps us to be awake doing that very thing by walking circumspectly. Being careful about the way we conduct ourselves and the way we think and what thoughts we allow to go through our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, what Jen said was just really right on the money with all of this. I was listing down some scriptures that I thought I might go to with this. I'm gonna get to those in just a minute, but I want to get down to a particular verse. So in verse 16 it says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Oh man! And we sang a song, which was. Where was it? Where was it? Where was it? Where was it? Where did I put this someplace? Yeah. I don't have it. But maybe I'm thinking of something that Chan said. I don't remember it now. But I'll get back to it. Therefore, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And this is where we're at, because it is important that we know what the will of the Lord is in our life, right? Isn't that the bottom line? To know what he wants for us. Can we talk about, without getting into all kinds of very specific things, what are some things that you know is the will of God? What do you know is the will of God? Because at least you know that. We can be focusing ourselves to make sure that we're going in that direction. Anybody?
To be saved.
It's his will, it's his desire that everybody be saved.
Right.
So what's that say for us who were already saved? What should we be doing?
We want to be a light.
We want to be used of the Lord to bring other people to Him. It's His will that all be saved. Not everybody will, but He wants us to be available for Him to use us to bring people to Him. Okay, so that's one thing. You notice, like I mentioned a couple Sundays ago, we are co-workers with God. It's God's power. It's God's love. It's His ability. It's the Holy Spirit that does the wooing.
Yes.
But He works through us, and we need to be available and desirous to be used of the Lord. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is there anything else that you know is the will of God?
Be nice.
I didn't write all the scriptures down, but it says that to be good and to do good for people is the will of God. Something else.
Sanctification.
Yes. It is the will of God that we be sanctified. Now, what does sanctified mean?
Set apart.
What's involved with that? What do you mean set apart? Stick our noses up and go and stay away from people? No, what does it mean when we say that?
You live a different way. You live a godly way to show other people.
Okay. it deals with righteousness.
Not to focus on the things of this world.
Right. Right? We separate ourselves from the world. Sanctification, we're set apart. Okay? Did you have a scripture for that? Go ahead and read it.
1 Thessalonians chapter 4.
4, verse 3.
Exactly. Yeah. That you abstain from sexual immorality, and each one of you know how to control his body in holiness and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God.
Yeah. And it's the will of God that we walk with self-control, right? So if we know that this is God's will, and we sing these songs, we just want to do your will, Lord, and we want to serve you, and we want to follow you all the days of our life, but we can't make a disconnect and then sing those words and only mean it as long as it doesn't impinge on what we want to do.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that what happens a lot? Yeah, when God's will crosses our will, we kind of pretend we don't know that because we want to go in our direction, right? And it really comes down to this whole thing of our will or God's will. But the scripture here is saying that we should understand what the will of the Lord is. And then he goes on to say here, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And here's some more of the things that we do in order to walk circumspectly, which allows us to stay awake to the Spirit. People say, well, I don't know if the Spirit's speaking, or what's he sound like? The more that we are doing these things here, we begin to sense the Spirit more in our life. And it goes on and says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's a neat thing to do, isn't it? Every day. You ever find yourself just singing a song? There's a song just flowing out of you, and something that you heard in church, or maybe you heard it on the radio or something, and Christian radio. And I'm not talking about any song. I'm talking about those songs that feed our soul.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they're spiritual songs. And we allow that to happen. We can't manufacture these things, but we need to be people that desire these things. You notice that when you desire something, you put some time and effort into it.
Like pizza?
This is what's really good about Pastor Chan and about, I think, all of us in here. We're really honest about that kind of stuff, you know? Well, we're not putting on some religious airs. Yeah, we all have something where it's our desire that Jesus be first in everything. But you know, if you're really brutally honest with yourself, he's not. He's not yet. But we're in process. And I hope that that's something that all of us are looking for, is that when we notice certain things, that we give that over to God, who said it was that? Maybe it was Jen. You know, that we repent of and say, God, help me. Here I am, putting me first instead of you. Yeah? Caring more about my will than what his will is. And here's something. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in one of the other scriptures, it says that giving thanks in all things is the will of God for you. Giving thanks. Did you hear while we were doing while the prayers for the communion was going on? How many times thanks was used? You know, that's the well. When you're thankful to God in any of the circumstances that you're in, You can know that the Holy Spirit is ministering to you. Right? You can sure know that. For absolute surety. And when the Holy Spirit is ministering, this is a real good time to really be listening, because God really speaks to us through His Holy Spirit, doesn't He?
Yes. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. It's just a joyous thing for me, and I really enjoy everything I'm doing and saying, and it's just amazing. I have such a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
There was something, I think it was Reggie that said it. You know, when faith is not the opposite of walking circumspectly. Faith is not the opposite of reason. And it's really portrayed that way a lot, that you have to throw your reason out the window in order to walk in faith. When yet, this scripture here says that if we're going to be alive and awake to God, we need to walk circumspectly. That requires reasoning. That requires logic. That requires looking at things with prudence and analyzation, and saying, I don't want to go that way because this is what happens to people that go in that direction. So you can use your reason and still be walking in faith, can't you?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
I think that's important for us to realize, because this is the way it's played a lot in the world, is that, you've got to throw reason out the window. No, you don't. Not a bit. And so this is a really an important thing for us. There was some other thing. Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm going to get to that scripture. Yeah.
What you're just saying reminds me. I was looking up something on the internet for my students this past week, and it was 10 scientific facts that came from the Bible, and how oftentimes scientists you think of scientists as being opposed to religion, and many of them are, but so many of the original scientists who came up with some phenomenal ideas found them in the Word, like washing your hands under running water, for instance, or the channels in the sea,
Yeah.
So many of those things came from the Bible. So reason is part of faith. And if
it
you
is.
Have faith that God's Word can teach you everything, then looking to it is very reasonable.
It's very reasonable.
Many times science has confirmed what we have faith that
right.
we believe.
And we believe
many times, yes.
You know, one of the other things that the Bible talks about, and Jen used the exact scripture, was Jeremiah 29:11. It's gone right there. But the basic idea is that it's God's will that He wants us to prosper. Now, we're not talking about financially, although it could be that. But He wants us to grow, succeed, have life, and that more abundantly, right? The abundance of life. This is what He wants for us. And we can have that. We can have that in Him, can't we? We become... I wonder how much we miss out on what God is doing in our life because we're not awake to it. You know, maybe all of us here think, oh, well, I'm awake to God. I love Jesus. I come to church. I do all these things. But even with us that are in this room right now, how many of us are really as alive and awake to God in our life and what He's doing and what His plans are? What's God's ultimate plan for? What's His will for this world? Do we have anything to do with that? You know, and what is it? Do we seek these kinds? Do we think that way? And the scripture tells us in Romans 12 that we're supposed to allow the Lord to transform our mind. Because the way we look at things and our insecurities and our fears and stuff really hold us down, and we're in a sleepy state that we need to be aware of and break out of. Awake. We need to be awake. One of the songs was open my eyes, Lord, right? There was another little piece, and this is really true. The Jesus All for Jesus song, all of my ambitions, hopes, and I surrender these to your hands. It's only in your will that we're what?
Free.
That we're free. That's the only way we're really going to be free. We're really going to live life. And to seek the will of the Lord is so important. Well, how does that happen? We have it there in Ephesians to ask God to be awakened to what He's doing in our life. What is His expectations for us to move in His will that way? To sing the songs and hymns and the spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts for the Lord. All important for us as individuals. Not as, okay, here's a little compartment, I'll do this and then he's going to do that. But we enter into these things that God gives us as guidelines that become who we end up being. Now look what it says here. I'm going to read you this in Romans chapter 12. I beseech, this is verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world. That's what Claude was just talking about. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might approve of that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Oh, we can really know. It isn't a general idea. It's a very strong knowing of what God's will is in our lives. Right?
Yeah.
Amen? I'm going to close this. Hebrews chapter 12. This is a short one today. Hebrews chapter 12. And Pastor Chan talked about this. He was talking about persistence. The scripture says that after we do the will of God, that we need to have perseverance. Now, Chan called it persistence, and he was talking about it in the realm of, when you sense that you need to pray for somebody, he used the healing thing, right? Prayed. Were you fulfilling the will of God? Yeah, you were praying. You felt the Spirit move on you to pray for somebody, to take faith for a particular thing. It's done by the Spirit. We don't just take faith. We don't assume and just take faith for something. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We don't just say, "Well, I'm just gonna believe for this." Well, if the Holy Spirit hasn't spoken to you, how can you have faith? We just take faith? Well, then you don't have the faith of God. You're not moving by His faith, because He needs to speak it to you first, doesn't He? You need to sense in your heart that the Holy Spirit is giving you the impetus to pray for somebody. You understand? Then it's a prayer of faith. It isn't just a prayer. It's not a prayer of hope. It's not a prayer of coming from some other source. A prayer of faith comes because you've heard, because that's what faith is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's God, it's the Holy Spirit that speaks to us, that is encouraging us, that anoints us to say something, to pray about something. And when that happens, then God is right there to back it up. We're not moving in faith if God hasn't spoken it. Do you believe that?
And that's what's really important here for us to realize. So in Hebrews it says this, and I'll get back to what Cameron's saying. Hebrews chapter 12.
No, was it 12?
Yes.
Is that what I said?
Yes.
It's not 12. It's 11. I'm sorry. It's chapter 11. It's right before 12. It's the verses right before chapter 12. Okay. So it's the last several verses in chapter 11. And these are people of faith. Am I in the right spot?
See, I didn't write all this down. That's what I should have done.
We're looking for the ones that start.
It's not in chapter 11 either. It's in chapter 10. I wonder why I wrote that down. All right, chapter 10. All right, and the last verses there in chapter 10. Starting verse 35. Don't cast away your confidence that has a great recompense of reward. In other words, you know, when we are praying for something, believing for something, crying out to God for something, lots of times what we need to do is to persevere. Look, this is what it says. You have need of patience or perseverance that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Now, this is exactly what Chan was talking about. You know, we expect some immediate response from God when sometimes He's looking for us to stay at it. Persist in prayer. And we can give up. We can give up too easy. Isn't that what it says in verse 35? You know, don't cast away your confidence. And yet that we can do that with God when we don't get an immediate answer. And here we are actually doing the will of God, but because we don't get some immediate reinforcements, this happens to me all the time. You don't get this immediate reinforcement, you think, oh, I guess that wasn't what God wanted me to do.
Right.
Or we sit there and we place on ourselves a particular label, like Chan did. Well, every time I go into a room, there's no healing.
Right.
Have you done that? Mm-hmm. Oh, nothing's going to happen because, you know, Kathy won't watch baseball games because she thinks if she's watching, the socks are gonna mess up. How do you feel that way? Yeah. There's a few that feel that way. Because why? Why? Because it's happened. Right? You happen to go in to what? You turn on the TV, there's the game, and the score is 3-0 Red Sox. And you're going, yes. And Kathy will sit down. Oh, there are three runs ahead. I can watch this. And so she'll sit down, and she'll be watching the game, and it's the other team's turn it back, and they get three guys on, a guy hits a grand slam, and now they're losing 4-3. Well, that destroys Kathy right there. Because she's watching, so it's her fault. You know? But this this can happen with other aspects of life. And, you know, that's just the funny one. But there's aspects of life where I know that you, because I've done it, have placed on myself restrictions. We've labeled ourselves a certain way because of, I mean, there's some evidence there, right? Mm-hmm. Kathy wouldn't be thinking that way if every time she came in the room, the Red Sox scored more runs. Right. No, there's some evidence there. There's evidence sometimes that would make us think that, and here's the enemy speaking to us, or you can't. You can't get up here and pray because the last few times you did it, you bubbled your words. So I don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't want people I don't want anybody asking me to get up and speak in front of some, you know, even a simple prayer. Oh no, I can't do that. Because and there's lots of factors for it, but it's something that can be broken. The scripture says there in Ephesians that God can redeem the time.
That's right.
You know, when you're awake to what the Lord is doing, and you know you have these insecurities, these fears, these things, and they've constrained you, but you awake, allow yourself to be awakened by the Spirit of God, God can redeem the time that was lost in you moving in the Lord and understanding what His will is. He can expedite that. He can make it so that things go faster and you begin to see and grow at a faster rate to catch up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
Amen.
Do you believe that?
That's what it says.
So,
you gotta believe it.
You know, I was encouraged today by the choice of the songs, by what Jen said. I'll bet you that inside every single person here, there was something that if you were moved by the Spirit and you allowed yourself to speak, you would be blessing me and others with what God has put into your heart. And this is where we're really moving as a body in here, is that. I'm sure that if you're new, you've noticed that it isn't just one person that does all the talking. Reggie doesn't lead the service and bring the message and close the service. No. And when he's speaking, or if I'm preaching, or Glenn, or whoever is bringing a message, that it's more than one person. Because it's important that as all the joints of the body supply, this is how we grow in Christ. And that means that you have that it's not fear, it's not these things that constrain us, so that we can all work together. We need the communication, the encouragement of one another. Don't we?
Yes.
That is so, so important in a body. And in lots of Christendom, the pastor is put up on some kind of pedestal, and then he's expected to do everything and have all the answers. And I'll tell you what, I don't have all the answers. But you know what? All of us, the different people that have been called as pastors, and every single person in this room, together we have the answer. We're the body of Christ, and God so composes the body as He sees fit, so that we will grow. Right? This is what's good about body ministry. And this is the will of God for us. That we grow together. That we're not afraid to share with one another. Sometimes it's, it doesn't have to be up in front of everybody, but when you're talking with people on an individual basis or in little tiny groups, that you're not afraid to share
what the Lord's shown you or done a testimony or whatever. Oh, I was reading the scripture the other day, and I was really blessed by such and such. You know, the enemy will say to any of us, well, you don't need to say that. You know, these people, they already know these scriptures. No, it's important that we break out of that kind of sleepiness. That we allow our minds to be transformed, like it says in Romans 12, so that we prove what the will of God is. To test it, to prove it, to approve it. This we only do this through communication.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
I wanted to just encourage us today that we be people that really seek God's will above our own. And so, Lord, we ask you. We know that it's only in your will that we are truly free. Lord, we desire to be awakened in areas of our life where we need to be. So that we can understand what the will of the Lord is. I thank you, Lord. I ask that you just give us just that Holy Spirit anointing to just sing songs of spiritual songs and hymns to you in a greater measure. Lord, open up our attitude, our passion for you. Lord, we want to be awake to that. We want to be awake to all the beautiful things that you do in our lives. We want to be awake, Lord, to the plans that you have made for us. Lord, we want to be awake to being here at the end of the age and what you're doing and where you're going and what is your will to end this age and how we fit into that, Lord, that we be awake, that we be alive to your will in all its manifestations, not just your will for us as an individual, but your overall will, your will, Lord, for Messiah to rule and reign in this earth. Your will to bring all nations together to judgment and end this corrupt age and bring in a beautiful new age. We look for that, Lord. We desire, Lord, to understand your will in all of those grand things as well as for in our own lives. Help us, Lord. We can handle this. We can handle it, oh God. We thank you, God. By your Spirit, Lord, we can handle these things. We love you, Jesus.